FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and hey, we've been bringing a lot of exciting companies to you, particularly in the resource sector. The one I'm bringing today, a new sponsor, and really an incredible story that I was just watching Indiana Jones, a couple of those movies over the weekend, and it so reminded me of that, that I said, well we got to bring him on today. His name is Mark Campbell. Mark, you run Aton Resources, and you're in Egypt of all places. Who would have thunk? But you've got incredible things going on right now. Hey, before I get started, though, I should tell you, go over to atonresources.com. That's A-T-O-N, resources.com. Really good website, very informative. Everything you need to know is on there. Main thing you need to know right now is the symbol. It's on the TSXV, A-A-N. Mark, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back. Good to be here.
Hey, so it's amazing. When we last spoke, kind of stock was trading low, nothing happening. Then today, all of a sudden, it goes up over 50%, and the volume on it, outrageous. It's up almost 14 million shares, which is like almost 100 times normal. And so, Mark, you had some really interesting things happen on your journey in Egypt.
The interesting thing, and what has driven this jump in our share price today, is that Egypt has there's been gold mining going here for 10,000 years, and our area in the eastern desert, we knew that there was a nameless mountain that had been in history, had been a large producer of gold in the ancient period. And there was an area in our license called East Eridaya, and it had old ancient processing site where they had grinding stones and all the rest of it. And there were high-grade tailings dumps. But when we looked around, there wasn't much. And using spectral imaging and just good old boots on the ground, our geologists climbed up this nearby mountain. And when they got to the top of it, it was one of those wow moments. Here were these ancient underground workings where on two ridges, a large amount of just honeycombed with ancient workings. We reckon now that nobody has been up there in 1600 to 2000 years. We found ancient ropes left behind. We found ancient oil lamps with wicks still in them when we went underground. And it was just an incredible discovery. We made that discovery last December, but it was very rugged terrain, very hard to get to. And we've been working on building the infrastructure so to get up there. We built a 4.5-kilometer road right up the side of a mountain. It's very steep, at some point 70 degrees. And we're now drilling there. And these first results that we had out today really speak to the history and the richness of this area. And so, the amazing thing was that when you're talking about Indiana Jones earlier, I mean, this really is Indiana Jones sort of thing. And Egypt itself is really frontier, because even though it has this long history of gold mining, it really came to an end in the early 50s and wasn't revived until Centamin built their Sukari mine back in 2009. And really, at the moment, there's only ourselves and one other private exploration company working here in Egypt. We've been here now really since 2007. We have one development project, which is a small heap leach project that we're trying to bring on stream. And then we have this, plus we have another 15 legitimate exploration targets. It's about a 738 square kilometer concession area that we work on. But Egypt itself, the geology is incredibly exciting. And so we think it's a great place. We're a first mover. We're one of the first people to be here. And the potential is for us is awesome.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. So did you find any snake pits there or booby traps in this hidden vault?
Not there. But I mean, it's called Rod Ruin, but that sort of morphed out of the fact that we originally called it Rod, the Ridge of Death. Because it is so steep and it's so sort of dicey with a lot, but it is an interesting place.
And the way you found this, you were using a couple of your geologists were using Google Earth, and they came across this?
Yeah, what occurred was that we had satellite imagery, and we found these carbonate areas. And some carbonate areas we found were barren. And to be honest with you, people saw this back in the summer of 2017, they go, oh, just another, and it's pretty steep. And, and then it came up just before Christmas holiday in December last year. And one of the guys, our GIS guy, was looking and saw on there these old trails leading up there, and couldn't make out why they'd be there. And plus the archaeological evidence that we had from East Aradaya processing area. So they went up there, and it really is a brutal climb. And they got up there, and that was the wow moment. So it's it was part work and part luck.
Yeah. So, but finds just aren't big deposits just aren't really found this way, are they?
No, not really. I mean, and I think that speaks a lot to the fact that just really nothing has been done. We have three old British mines that closed before the First World War. Two were gold. One was high-grade tungsten. And even the Brits who were here for quite a while never found this. And as I say, from what we can determine, nobody has been up there for at least 1,600 years.
That's amazing. So it was just this hidden gem sitting there in plain sight, and everyone missed it.
Yeah, and it was sitting there, but it was nameless. Even the Bedouin who knew the legend of it had no idea where it was. They just knew that there was some mountain of gold out there.
Yeah, and this could well be the fulfillment of that legend. It's a legendary strike, if you will.
Sure, absolutely. And, when you look at it, because it has two ridges that drop steeply into a wadi or a valley between them, and there's workings all over both ridges. The north ridge is actually much more difficult to access where we're working the south ridge. But imagine these people working in narrowly confined spaces with rock hammers, just handheld rocks that they banged away at all this stuff. There must have been just hundreds of people working there for many, many years. And all they could do was, take out the quartz veins that they saw. And what's interesting is that the geology is a bit strange. It's in the sediments. So we have mineralized slates and things that really nobody really ever sees. So, it's part, working on developing and finding an economic deposit, as well as working out the geology as you go. And that's very typical of Egypt, because there's really not a lot of information. So it is an explorationist paradise. As a destination.
Hey, so what obviously one of the major reasons why nobody's gone to Egypt is because they weren't exactly welcomed with open arms by the government, right?
No, that's right. I mean, what, you know, there, you know, it's like a lot of places that are Egypt. You had several things happen. You had the change in government when Nasser came to power in 1952. The remaining mining companies over here were foreign left. You had a major discoveries in the oil business here. And so it became an oil environment, and the mining industry effectively withered on the vine and died. And so they instituted a policy. They just said, well, you know, oil and gas mining, they're both extractive. So we're just going to use the oil and gas model and apply it to mining. And of course, you know, it really, really didn't work. And nobody really ever asked the question because oil and gas was doing well. Well, why is there no mining? Now they've asked the question, and yeah. It's the president of the country who's really asked that question because he wants to maximize the resources of the country. So at the beginning of this year, the Minister of Petroleum, Tariq al-Muluk, engaged Wood Mackenzie, the large resources consulting firm who had done so much for Ecuador, to come in and say, okay, look, what's wrong with all of this and how do we fix it? And they are right now in the process of doing that. So this production sharing agreement arrangement will go away. It'll be a tax, royalty, rent regime like everywhere else. This joint venture with the where the government owns a stake in the business disappears. They will open up for people to come and be able to, you know, find their own ground. And, you know, we have seen in the last year Resolute Mining out of Australia pick up two areas with a view that this is changing. And we believe it will change. You know, we've been, you know, involved in giving our input as the industry into this. And the government seems very, very focused on changing it. It's a very reform-oriented government. They've taken some very hard decisions with the IMF, and you know, they really are investment-oriented. They want to attract investors, and one of those areas that they really want to find people to come into is mining. Because historically, not only gold, we always talk about gold, but you know, areas in the Eastern Desert and in the Sinai, they mine copper in ancient times, zinc. It, at one point, it was the largest supplier of emeralds to Europe before Colombia and a lot of other places came along.
So, very true. It's, rubies, yeah, too, so I think, it, right? Didn't rubies, they do rubies as
and
well?
Peridot. Peridot is the big thing that they have here. But it's mapped. It's been mapped in nickel. And, you know, some people think there are platinum group metals here. I mean, you know, really, it's one of these things where you don't really care what somebody's looking for. You just want them to come and spend money in your country. So, and they realize that.
I love that.
Go look for whatever. I mean, lithium, you know, who cares what you're looking for? You know, so it's, they're very focused on reforming this. And this is, and of course, you know, being one of the first people here, understanding how the country works, and understanding that it does take time, but they are actually moving in the right direction. And I don't think it, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later that this all changes.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So your background is in petroleum, and you made the switch to mining, and petroleum is like a very predictable, you know, developing petroleum resources has become a very predictable ho-hum kind of business, but mining really hasn't followed suit by any stretch. It's still highly risky. You know, you got, it takes so long to develop a mine. You know, oil wells, you could be drilling in less than a year if things go really well, but doing a mine takes a lot longer. So you've kind of had to reorient yourself to a whole different industry.
That's right. And that's a very good point. And that's one of the reasons why, because there this break, as it were, in mining, all those old mining geologists, I mean, Egypt has actually the second oldest geological
society. Really? The second oldest geological society in the world, really?
1912 was the first geological.
Yeah. So, Mark, yeah, we got the signal kind of coming in and out, and you say that's part of the Indiana Jones effect.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in Egypt, you're in the States. But you know, it's so it died out. So there weren't really anybody who understood mining, and so they, as I say, they applied the oil and gas law. But you know, on average, it takes from go to woe, sort of 10 to 15 years from starting exploration to building a mine. Mm-hmm. And in oil and gas, as you say, you know, you can be drilling a well in a year. Egypt also is the second oldest oil environment after the United States. So, you know, Shell's had it, you know, been here for 120 odd years. So, right. You know, it's a completely different business, but the understanding was oil and gas. So, you know, there's this natural assumption that it was the same, but, you know, mine, you know, the economics are back to front because, you know, you spend all your money up front in oil and gas, and then you have one guy comes out and checks the gauges once you're producing.
Right.
And, you know, the wellbore is your mine. Here you have to build one. You have thousands of people working there. You know, it's a different, and they've finally woken up to that, and they finally do understand that. And that's why they're making the move to reform it all so that they can attract investment into the mining sector. And, you know, it is separate from, you know, the oil and gas.
Absolutely. So totally different industry, totally different risk profile. It sounds like you've got a major find on your hands, though, and it's got to be incredibly exciting. So, so what's next? Where are we heading next?
Well, you know, our program, we will probably be able to drill about 6,000 meters of RC percussion drilling up until about Christmas. We'll take a short break, come back in January. But we've got 20,000 meters that we've contracted for. You know, we're very keen to fast track Rod Ruin. We think Rod Ruin does have legs. And we want to very much to move it along as quickly as is humanly possible. You know, nothing ever goes as fast as you want it to, but, you know, as fast as we can make it happen, you know, we want to have happen. And we'll see where we go from there. You know, we're always open to talk to partners or, you know, anyone really. You know, our business is exploration. I mean, we're the venture capital arm of the mining industry. And, you know, we're our job is to go and find this stuff. If we have to move and, you know, mine it ourselves, you know, we will do that. I mean, that was the story of Centamin. And I got involved with money. I was here in the oil field services business. I had an oil field services business. I've been here for decades. I got involved with Centamin in the early stages back in 1995. And that's really my sort of introduction to the mining business. And, you know, that the guy who ran that, Samuel Aragi, was your ultimate explorationist. I mean, as soon as he started talking about mining, his eyes glazed over. And, you know, he really, you know, but they had to turn themselves into a mining company. They've turned themselves into a wildly successful mining company. And Sukari is a world-class mine by any measurement. So, you know, but he's a firm believer that there's a bigger one out there, and maybe we have it. I don't know. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, we'll keep moving forward to develop this in every way we can, whether it's, we find somebody who wants to partner with us and buy it off of us, or, we take it to fruition and mine it ourselves.
Hey, so the economics of mining in Egypt, can you get the equipment, infrastructure? Is that how significant is it? And skilled miners, how hard did they to obtain in Egypt?
Well, there's only one place that you can train for that, and that's at Sukari. We, of course, have picked up a lot of the people involved in their exploration period, and these are predominantly geologists. There isn't a lot. I mean, we have an excellent exploration team. I mean, I think that is the backbone of our company, is the exploration team that we do have. And we've brought on some very good young Egyptian geologists who are doing very, very well. And that's the future here. And, in terms of equipment, because of Sukari, there are companies around. So Capital Drilling, who are a drilling contractor, have a very big operation here. They have two yards. They've got stores. They've got spares. There are blasting companies here. They may be foreign, but you have them. And Carbon Holdings has just built the second largest ammonium nitrate plant in the world at Suez. Right. So, you do have fundamentally what you require. And the manpower is good. Egyptians are very good. They're very practical. And, we're down in the southern part of Sudan or Egypt, what we call Upper Egypt. They're The guys down there, for me, are very easy to deal with because they're like West Texans, but only Egyptian. Coming from West Texas, I get that. So, we have very good hardware. They're hard workers. They're very practical. They're fast learners. And so you have a low cost workforce. The one thing that Egypt has done forward looking is that they have put in and invested hundreds of millions in infrastructure. So we have a 4-lane highway that, is right outside our front gate. We've got power lines. We've got a railway that runs through our license area. We've got two international airports 2.5 hours away from each other. We've got a deep water port on the Red Sea, which is 2 hours away from us. So, The infrastructure, is phenomenal. And when you take a look at, places like Sudan, where you have great geology, great deposits and all the rest of it, no argument about that. But there's no infrastructure, and Sudan doesn't have the money to spend on it. So, when you look at it, it's got to be big enough to support building roads and power lines and water and all the rest of it. So Egypt has that as a real advantage, plus, fairly low cost. It's a low cost operating environment.
Exactly.
So, from that standpoint, we've got a lot of natural gas, electricity costs, power costs are low, labor costs are low. From that standpoint, on top of the fabulous geology, it's a wonderful place to be.
And you're perfectly poised so that if you do take the mine to production, you can do it because you got everything you need. Hey, so anyway, you need to take a look at Aton Resources. It's on the TSX Venture. The symbol is AAN. And take a look at their website, highly informative, one of the most transparent company websites I've seen in a long time, AtonResources.com, AtonResources.com. Mark, hey, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this.
Harry,
this
I really enjoyed it.
Hey, always. And we wish you the
best. I love talking about it.
I can feel your passion. And without passion, you know, how can you get into this business? It's really a great thing. So any questions or comments, just email me at kl@kerrylutz.com and we'll forward them off to Mark. Mark, thanks so much for coming on and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.